Hello, creative souls. I'm so glad that you've joined us for today's interview with the talented metal sculptor Josh Price from Contrived Curiosities. You're going to want to grab a pen and paper because in this episode, Jonathan and Josh cover so many topics from the challenges he faced, the discontent and rejection that fueled his determination, and the affirmations that led his artistic identity. Whether you're a seasoned creative or just starting your creative journey, this episode is for you. Stay tuned.
Hello, creative soul. Welcome to the Beauty Hunters Podcast. Are you feeling stuck? Not having enough time, money, or energy to create? Do you want to make a difference in this world with your creativity, but you feel exhausted by life's responsibilities and void of inspiration? You are not alone.
We are your hosts, Jonathan and Michelle Rose, fellow creative souls who understand the struggle. We once lived a life consumed by the daily grind, leaving us feeling empty and dead inside. And that all changed when we discovered the mindsets and skills that allowed us to stay in creative flow and infuse everyday life with creative passion. We are here with strategies and inspiration to help you fill your daily life with vibrant creativity.
If you are ready to thrive and take your creativity to the next level, then grab your coffee, tune in, and let's create a more beautiful world together. Well, today we are on with Josh Price, a fellow welder, close to my heart as another metal artist. Josh, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and how people can connect with you at first, and then we'll get into some of your story.
Let's see. So my name is Josh Price. I am 48 years old, and I'm a full-time artist at this point, traveling the country, selling art. My art form is scrap metal animal sculpture, and my contacts would be Contrived Curiosities, mostly either the .com, the Instagram, or Facebook will get you there either way.
Like the app, Contrived Curiosities?
Yes, yeah, at Contrived Curiosities, or the Facebook page is just Contrived Curiosities.
Gotcha. And we're going to have links to all the ways people can connect with you in our show notes. So what's your origin story? What got you into being a full-time metal sculpturist with scrap metal?
My origins, that's a good one. So let's see. My origin story started out moving to Florida when I was 19 from West Virginia and jumped around from several different jobs until I fell into doing auto body collision and repair. I really, really enjoyed doing that aspect of things because it allowed my creativity to really start to show its face. Had no idea that this art fair realm was even in existence. I would go to shows, but not with my own stuff, and had no idea that it was even a thing. And then ended up falling out of the auto body field and into a warehouse job where I was doing the same thing every day, doing manufacturing. And I think over a 3 to 5 year period, I slowly went crazy and came home and begged my wife, Tiffany, if I could buy a welder, because I had the skill and had always really kind of wanted to start making these little things that were cruising around in my head. And we were finally able to afford the equipment. And I started playing around out in the shed. And probably 2 years later, probably about 2011, Tiffany had just signed us up for the local art fair that happened here in Homosassa. So Homosassa Seafood Fest was our first actual show in 2011.
Okay. So you bought the welder with the intention of, I'm going to get out of this 9-to-5 grind and make a change, do something else.
No, so it hadn't even occurred to me. I just wanted to do something to stay creative because the job that was paying my bills was the absolute opposite. I just needed something to do.
So it was more therapy for you, just to stay sane.
That's a good way of putting it. Yes, that's exactly right.
Okay, so you said these things are jumping around in your head. Like you saw what could happen with scrap pieces. Like you saw shapes and how to put things together in your head, and you just started. I got to go do this.
Also, at 14 years old, I found a nut and bolt Don Quixote sculpture at a yard sale, and that, I believe, let me know that was a thing. I was like, wow, these are really cool. So it had been there forever. I just didn't know how to make it happen until I gained the right skill sets and fell into a really awful, boring job.
So So some experience in welding, probably with the auto body and what you were doing.
Yep.
And then enough discontent to go, I got to do something with these, with these skills and these ideas.
Yeah, I really was going crazy. And then I finally got the equipment and started making the little critters in the shed. And Tiffany was like, these are cool. So there it is.
What was the road from therapy sculpture to doing a few part-time shows to, hey, we're going to make this my full-time gig? What was that process like for you?
So the process for that is 2011, we did one show, and I don't know. I think we probably sold like 30 sculptures at that show, which I was astounded. I didn't even know what to do at that point. I couldn't even believe it. Because when Tiffany told me we were going to do a show at the local thing, I was like, nobody's going to buy these. What are you talking about? That turns out that people like them. So there was 2 years of just playing around and just giving stuff away and doing it that way to 2014-ish, where we really started gaining, I don't know, we probably were doing 8 shows a year by that point and with the full-time jobs. And then by that point, we had set a goal that if we have paid our house off, then I could go full-time with this and do it professionally.
Okay.
So 2017, in October or July, we actually paid the house off. And then I stepped out to be full-time guy. So we were doing 20 art fairs a year with a full-time job at that point. We were taking vacation days from work to go do the shows.
So that's almost like having 2 full-time jobs right there, because 20 is a lot of shows to pull off and be working a full-time gig.
Right. Yeah,
I didn't get up to that level of shows until I was already full time. That's insane. That's an insane pace.
It was. I think my wife and I are just crazy. We've always been those people. If we go after something, we go after it big. So and it's like as soon as we realized, holy crap, I could actually do this for a living and really do it. It was hard to make my own brain realize that I did not actually need to work for somebody else to support my family. You know, that I could do it completely on my own.
Yeah. So, unpack that a little bit. I'm curious about maybe some of the stories you told yourself about working for a living versus being an entrepreneur and working for yourself. And, how did you overcome that mindset?
So I've always been a worker. So, even when I was working at the auto body shop, I was told by mentors in that realm that the only way to get good at doing auto body is to do it and do it a lot. So I wanted to be good. So I would work one full-time job and then I would go to somebody's house at night and work side work for 4 more hours in order to get better, getting paid the whole way through. And that's how I gained the skills to become better at auto body. So I think I did the same thing outside of the warehouse job where I think that first show in Homosassa, it kind of clicked and was like, we could do this for a living.
I love that aspect of just committing yourself to a lot of reps of just doing something over and over and over again to get good at it. Because that's a piece of advice that I tell a lot of younger or aspiring artists. I'll tell them, look, if you want to get good at this, if you want to take it somewhere, you need to commit yourself to a body of work, right? Yes. You need to be willing to just do something over and over and over and over again, rather than do a million things one time, do one thing a million times.
There's a repetitive nature to it.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, something will spur something out. Mm-hmm. So I joke all the time, especially in the booth. It's like, if you only knew just how many crabs I have built over the last 12 years, and it's like, because we sell a lot of those and it's like, holy moly. And it's like, but it's like sometimes it's good. And other times you're like, well, I got to build crabs today.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and when we first talked about having you on the podcast, I think that was at the Great Gulf Coast show. And something you said when we were talking, I thought, man, other artists need to hear this. And you were just talking about how when you were balancing that daily, like working a regular job 9 to 5 and also doing art show stuff, and you would come home from your 9 to 5 just being so tired. right?
Yeah.
And you would just still have to find some sort of inspiration or ability to crank out some art.
So there's several aspects of that too. So there's the just being tired and then coming home from work. And I think it was an hour commute for me at that time. In our realm, we have everything from big detailed sculpture to little tiny two-part sculpture. Like we make little frogs out of one spoon and two forks. And to me, if I am not feeling inspired to do anything, but I still know I've got to get out there to do something, then that's where I start. Is I start with the really little guy until my brain goes, okay, we're in this. And then it goes and finds what it's after from there.
That's exactly it. Where, yeah, you've got to stay committed to that body of work. Some days it's an elaborate sculpture.
It's
and some
horse.
Days it's just punching out spoon frogs.
Yes.
You know,
my
version of that is like some days it's these beautiful drums. And then some days I'm drilling holes in bouncy balls to make mallets.
It's that prep work, man. It's trying to make your brain do something that it is like, no, I'm tired and don't want to do that is a struggle sometimes. And the longer you let that little guy win, the less you get done.
So, the other end of that spectrum would be a time-consuming, elaborate sculpture. What is that like? You know, sometimes there's your magnum opus, and then some days it's spoon frogs. Right. So talk about the other side of the spectrum there.
When you are ready to tackle something, I don't know, like I build an anglerfish that will take me 2 to 3 days to get it done. And that's just the whole process. What I have found at this point is that when I wake up in the morning, it is, how do you feel? What's going on? And then I walk out into the shop. Sometimes the idea I had in my head goes away and becomes spoon frogs. And then other days, the spoon frogs won't do it. I tell everybody it just kind of floats around in my head until I've got to build it. Then have to think about how many shows we have coming up and can I sacrifice 3 days in order to put this time in to build this big sculpture?
Yeah.
Or should I build the pieces that I know are going to sell on a regular basis in order to have a good show in that way? So that's a part of my equation also is, can I take that time because we've got a 3-show run coming up versus that's the same way with the with having a full time job. It was the same way. It was like I would come home and eat dinner and then go out to the shed and then be like, OK, here we go. And once I get something started, it's hard to turn it off if it's large like that. So you know, you got to go to bed and get up the next morning and go to work. So,
I think something you're pointing to there is a lot of times there's this illusion that it's all just grand cathedrals and, you know, these amazing, huge pieces of art and everything's just going to be in this glorious, like high level realm.
Yeah, but, man, it's the realm of Instagram.
Right. Yeah. Right. There you go. There you go. That's our society in a nutshell, I think. But sometimes you have to do the little stuff to support the big stuff. You have to kind of be your own patron and grind some stuff out to support. You got to do some of the easy stuff to support the hard stuff and make those sacrifices. Yeah. Okay. I'm curious about this. How long before you called yourself an artist?
I still halfway have trouble with that.
Yeah.
Because I don't really see it. You know, I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll look around at the shows and I'm like, well, I'm a part of this. It's so weird. I'm like, I can't even believe that this is happening to me. So,
yeah.
So I think the label freaks me out.
When I first started Hands on Fire and making the drums, I was still 2 or 3 years into this being my full-time gig. And if people would ask what I do, I would say I'm a welder or I'm a fabricator or something that sounded like 9-to-5 credible as how I made my living. For some reason in my head, that was the reasonable answer. And it was probably my third year in and had won several awards at multiple shows where something clicked in my brain. And I said, well, dang it, I'm an artist. Like, that's what I do. I'm an artist. And now people say, well, what do you do? I'm an artist, right? But I was making a full-time living on my art.
Yeah.
for 3 years before I was willing to call myself an artist. It was weird.
I don't think until like 2020 came along and shut the world down that I was like, oh, I'm an artist and I can't go do it now. I'm like, this is awful. So maybe that's when it kicked in, because, you know, people actually came to us at that point and was like, hey, you know, I see you're online. I know you're not able to do shows. Is there any way I can purchase from you? And we were like, that kind of makes us artists, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So I think that's where it actually clicked into me, because I don't use that kind of that term too much. I don't know why, but I'm like, yeah, I do scrap metal animal sculpture.
Man, I love your story. I love how just practical your journey has been, from, you know, escaping the 9-to-5 grind into just grinding it out for yourself. But there's so much more joy in that, I think.
It is. It's so when we started doing shows and my wife and I discovered that this really was a possibility, and she set the goal to pay the house off, that's when I started telling people at my 9-to-5 job that I was not going to be there forever, because this was going to be a thing. So for me, I think I had to announce it to the universe in order for myself to believe it.
Okay.
Like, no, this is going to happen. And once that actually started to become a thing, and it was just like side work to me, it was something I felt like I had to do therapy. I used to use that also. It was therapeutic for me. Get all the stress of work out, go out into my shed, listen to an audiobook or some music, and just zone out for a little while and make something cool.
Yeah. Well, that'll preach, because there, and we've had episodes about this, where there really is power over your affirmations and the words that you say over yourself.
Yes.
And yeah, so you had to just declare, this is who I am, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah. And it's funny, without even claiming I'm an artist, I'm gonna do this, it was more of a, I'm not gonna be working here forever.
Was that a conscious choice to say those positive things over yourself, or was that just more something that just came out?
Oh no, it's a conscious thing. For me, that's kind of how it works. If I allow the negative to seep in and say, no, you can't do this, then I will slowly not do it.
Yeah.
So I have to keep announcing it to myself and to the world that this is a possibility, and that if I keep my eyes set on the goal over there, then I know it's a possibility. I'm already doing it. I've just got to get away from the 9-to-5. I got to cut the chain.
Awesome.
So, and we finally did. And it was scary and amazing all at the same time.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've got a few minutes left. What is your best advice and or best lessons learned in this process?
Well, first and foremost is, don't be afraid to try it. You know, go do your local show. If it doesn't work for you, then don't let that kick you. I think I got denied by Mount Dora for the first time. And it was like, we had been doing shows for 3 or 4 years. And I was like, oh my God, they hate me.
I know, I still get rejections.
Yeah, me too, all the time. I'm like, dang it. But it doesn't affect me the same way it did when I was first getting them.
Yeah.
So, and that goes with anything. Like, we've had people walk past our booth and look inside the booth and be like, why? You know, what are these people doing here? You know, and it's like, and to me, you can't let the negative or the rejection stop you from doing something that you enjoy. And if you're initially using it, like I did, for therapy to just get through life and make sure that you're on track, then don't ever stop doing it.
Yeah.
You know, just make it, someone will find you and like it.
Yeah. Awesome. And my last question, and this is a silly, fun question. Okay. If you could pick any superpower as a creative, you know, what would it be?
What would my superpower be?
And we were starting the Creative Justice League. What would your superpower be?
I don't know. Let's see. That's a good question, because I've never thought of it that way before. I believe that mine would just be making sure that everybody's that we're all together. As my wife says all the time, we're all in this together. So, you know, I've heard several folks say that they know I'm at a show because they can hear my laugh. And when they can hear me laughing from across the way, they get happy because of it.
I would say that's true.
If I could push the positivity around and just let everyone know, enjoy it, man. You know, take the ride for what it is and enjoy the time you're putting into it.
Absolutely love the interview, right? I got you covered if you didn't grab a pen and paper. Here's a quick recap from my personal notes. 1, make time for creativity to be your therapy and don't stop. Let it grow. 2, don't let rejection get in your way. Someone out there is going to love your work. 3, your little stuff has a lot of value. It is the little stuff that supports that big stuff. So don't be afraid to do the little things. And 4, go explore Josh's art and buy something at ContrivedCuriosities.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram at Contrived Curiosities. All of the links are going to be in your show notes. And next Monday, we will be joining you with our new inspiration as grandparents. We can't wait to tell you all about it. See you then.
Thank you for joining us on the Beauty Hunters podcast. I hope this episode has encouraged you. If so, would you please take 30 seconds and share it with other creatives in your life? And please leave a quick written review on Apple Podcasts. Your reviews keep us inspired and help more people discover the podcast. Okay, time for us to hit the road. We're off to our next art show. We'll meet you back on Monday for another episode.
Until our next encounter, always remember that your creativity will make the world a more beautiful place.